Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Lucy Cantrilla. And today we got some good clips. One from Tony Mariano of the Lawman Chronicles. And we have other things. We got one called Spiritual Treason by A.W. Tozer, and some things from Ray Comfort with Street Witnesses. And we will start you out today. Let's see. I will do the Tony Mariano one. It's called Do Not Judge. You're listening to the Truth Be Told Radio. We're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. You see more about us at www.truthbetoldradio.com.
It's not uncommon when I take someone through the law of God, when I take someone through the Ten Commandments, whether or not they profess to be a Christian, that they quickly downplay their sin, saying something like, "Well, God knows my heart." And when a person makes a comment like that, I smile and I politely say, "You're absolutely right. God does know your heart, and that's your problem. That's your problem." Some Christians are uncomfortable with the idea of holding another person accountable for their sin or going as far as to question another person's salvation. They will often turn to and misinterpret Matthew 7:1, one of the verses that every unbeliever in the world seems to know. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. The verse is not a prohibition against all forms of judgment. It's a prohibition against hypocritical and self-righteous forms of judgment. It's a prohibition against condemning forms of judgment, meaning that a person assigns another person to hell for a particular sin, but yet they exonerate someone else because their sin is acceptable to them, or because they commit the sin themselves. And they love the sin, and they love to overlook that sin and commit that sin more than they love God. Have you ever done that? Are you doing that right now? Do you think of certain sins and you say that person's going to hell because they committed that sin? But yet, if you're wallowing in a certain kind of sin and you see someone else doing it, guess what you want to do? You want to extend grace and mercy and say, "Well, that's not that bad." Yeah, I caught myself doing that. At times, I've done that. Now, the kind of judgment we are allowed to employ is a discerning kind of judgment, a loving kind of judgment. And if you study the parables, you will see that very often the parables distinguish between true and false conversion. And Jesus, throughout the Gospels, is never shy about pointing out the hypocrisy of religious people. We are being no one's friend if we see habitual sin in a person's life and we do nothing more than assign them the title of carnal or backslider. They very well may be unregenerate. They very well may be living with a false faith, a false hope, and a false relationship with God. If we truly care about people, then we will speak the truth in love. We will warn people about the reality of false conversion, and we will encourage them to examine themselves just as we are supposed to examine ourselves. And one of the best pieces of evidence about the true condition of a person's heart is what comes out of their mouth. So many times, I have had people strongly, even angrily, defend their assertion that they are a Christian, while at the same time holding beliefs such as, I don't believe the Bible is true. Or, I'm a Christian, I believe in evolution, not creation. Or, I'm a Christian, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. Or, I'm a Christian, God's not a judge. Or, I'm a Christian, homosexuality is not a sin. Or, I'm a Christian, and it's a woman's right to choose to murder her baby. Or, I'm a Christian, and there are many ways to heaven. I've heard all of these things and more. Of course, they are quick to call me judgmental, which is a rather judgmental thing to say, when I dare to question the validity of their faith. But it's not me that's condemning them. I'm merely pointing out the evidence against them that condemns them, the words coming out of their own mouth. And if you're here this morning and you profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ, yet you do not believe what God says about himself in his word, and you do not believe what God says about his word in his word, and you do not believe what God says about you in his word, and you do not believe what God says about the only way of salvation in his word, then you are not a Christian. Now, that's not according to me. It's according to the truth of God's word. You may be religious, you may be spiritual, but according to Scripture, you are not born again, you are not saved. Repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel while you still can.
Cody Mariano about judging, and you're seeing the Trippy Toll Radio, and we will take a break for now.
The word all, well, it makes Noah's Flood global. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the writers and editors for Answers Magazine.
You know, the only way we can know the truth about the catastrophe of Noah's flood is to have an eyewitness account or record of it. And fortunately, God inspired people to record these events in the Bible, the history book of the world. You know, in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, there's one word that gives us a clear answer on the extent of the flood. It's the word all, which is kol in Hebrew, and it's used 72 times in those chapters. In Genesis chapter 7, we read that all the high mountains under all the heavens were covered. In Hebrew, this double use is meant to eliminate any possibility of uncertainty. I'd say God is really going out of his way to tell us that Noah's flood was global. So why don't some people believe all means all? It's because they have listened to the words of fallible men who weren't there, who believe in millions of years and no global flood. They deny the very clear answers from our infallible Creator who was there.
Does that mean all people in the world today are descendants of Noah's family? Ken Ham provides the answer in an intriguing booklet on the origin of the races. It makes for such great reading, and it's also evangelistic. We want to send 10 of them to you for your gift of any size. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or through the web at answersoffer.org.
You're seeing the Truth Be Told Radio.
This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. What can you eliminate from your life that's not a priority? It takes some discipline, and that's rarely fun. But here goes. Eliminate those things that don't contribute positively to God's plan for your life right now. We all do stuff that just isn't essential. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." An hour on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, it all takes time. These aren't bad things, just things you can choose to do or not without impacting what's effective in your life. Every day, ask yourself, "How can I better live this day?" Remember, you're on assignment from God to use your time and life for Him. This is Elizabeth George.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Study how Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. He went out of his way to speak to her. He took the initiative. He didn't wait for her to bring up the things of God, and we need to do the same. The world won't come to us and ask us about God. They love the darkness and hate the light. Neither will they come to the light lest their deeds be exposed.
So determine to do what Jesus did. Go into all the world. Perhaps use a gospel tract to bring up the subject. Hand it to someone and ask, "Did you get one of these?" Let curiosity do its work. And when they ask, "What is it?" say, "It's a gospel tract. Have you had a Christian background?" What do you think happens after someone dies? Do it today.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I was describing something that I was looking at, but the person to whom I was talking said, "I don't see it." "That's because you're looking in the wrong direction," I said. "Turn around and look over here." So he turned and looked in the direction I was pointing, and sure enough, he saw it. Turn, that's our word for today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. When you think of Jesus, what images come to your mind? In other words, what does he look like? Well, you might say, "I don't know exactly what he looked like, but he was a young man in his early 30s and probably had a rugged, manly look about him. He was dressed in simple clothes and wore sandals on his feet. There was a gentle, kindly look in his eyes, and his countenance was soft and inviting. That's what I think of when I think of Jesus." Now, what if I said to you, that may have been the way he looked 2,000 years ago, but that's not the way he looks now? Turn around and look over here, and you'll see a very different Jesus. Well, that's what John did in Revelation 1 and verse 12. John says, "I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw one like the Son of Man. His head and hair were white as snow, his eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet like fine bronze in a furnace, and his countenance was like the sun." Wow, what a description of Jesus as he appears now. But John had to turn around to see it, and so will you. Instead of looking back 2,000 years, you'll have to turn around and look toward heaven, and then you'll see a very different Jesus who was awesome and powerful. That's what Jesus looks like now. He's no longer the humble carpenter from Galilee. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what John saw when he turned. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, over here, turn around. Read Revelation 1 and you'll be amazed.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Welcome back. This is Truth Be Told Radio with Moses Caracciola. And today we will have, next is some witnessing by Ray Comfort. And thank you for the Truth Be Told Radio.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're sharing your faith with someone, and after you explain the gospel, they say to you, "Oh yeah, I believe all that stuff," but they're still walking in their sin? And they say to you, "It doesn't matter, all I have to do is believe." Well, see, a person like that is the same as a criminal who says they understand and believe the law, but continues in their crime. You see, in reality, this makes the person even more guilty than the person who doesn't believe. because they understand the law. How do you solve this dilemma? Watch this interview with Ray and Ryan and Jerome.
How many of the Ten Commandments can you guys name?
I don't think I can name all ten, but I can name some of them. You know, like, definitely
do one to others as you would want done to yourself.
That's the golden rule.
Oh, that's the golden rule. Don't commit adultery.
That's one.
Don't murder. No, you're not allowed to kill nobody. I know that. I know that's one of them.
You got three.
Yeah, we're not real good at that, I guess.
No murder.
Well, he's good at it, Ryan. You're not. No stealing?
No stealing. No premarital sex.
Well, that's not one of the commandments, but it's included in the seventh.
It's included, though. It's like, oh, what, the seven deadliest sins, right?
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with
that.
It
does have nothing to do with that?
Okay, guys. Ryan, do you think you're a good person?
I think I'm a decent human being, yeah.
What about Jerome? What about you?
I think I'm a good dude.
Okay, let's check if you are using those commandments, okay?
Okay.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Thousands.
Yeah, I would concur.
Thousands.
Couple.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Definitely a liar at times.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
Definitely, yeah.
Right. Yes, I have.
So what do you call someone who steals things?
Thief.
Stealer at times.
What's this at times? Have you ever used God's name in vain? That's the third of the Ten Commandments.
Definitely.
Yes, I sin every single day.
It's called blasphemy. Now, what about committing adultery? Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
No.
Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in the heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I would say yes.
So, guys, listen to this. By your own admission, both of you are lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterers at heart. And we've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Man, I guess I'd be guilty, you know what I mean?
Well, I think everyone's guilty.
I'm talking about you guys, not everybody.
Oh, I haven't accepted Christ into my heart, so I know that I would be guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell if you died today and God judged you by the Ten Commandments?
Yes, as far as the Ten Commandments go, I'd probably be going to hell.
I would definitely be going to hell.
Does that concern you?
Yeah, it concerns me in, like, different ways, really, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to say, like, it's just the way society is and the way, like, life is and the way, like, everything's structured. It's, like, kind of hard not to be a liar, a thief, or somebody that, you know, is, like...
But if you said that in a court of law to a civil judge, he's not going to let you go. It's just saying why you did it.
I know, but like, the judge that's judging me is a liar and a thief and lusts and...
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like...
But on Judgment Day, the God that is going to judge you is perfect and holy and righteous. So does it concern you that you'd go to hell today if you died?
Well, definitely my concern is, you know, everybody's saying that this religion is right, that religion is right. And that's always confused me. I was brought up Christian. And, you know, wavered in that, and maybe something else could be right. I know all God is,
Well, there's only one religion that offers you forgiveness of sins, and that, you know why Jesus died on the cross?
That
offer forgiveness of sins. If you look at all the big religions, they're what's called works righteousness religions. You've got to do something to have your sins forgiven. Right. Lie on beds and nails, yeah. But God...
I'm just not so sure that... sacrificing in this life and in my reality and being able to like make that sacrifice to go to heaven wouldn't be offered to me as a spirit, as like a ghost after I die. You know what I mean?
Well, look, let me explain something to you. Jerome, let me explain something to you and get your thoughts, okay?
Yeah.
At the moment, if God gave you justice, you'd definitely go to hell. You're right. You'd be guilty. But 2,000 years ago, God became a human being in Jesus Christ and paid your fine. At the moment, you're a criminal in God's eyes. You've violated his law. But what Jesus did is paid your fine so that you could leave the courtroom. God can now legally dismiss your case. He can commute your death sentence. You can just walk out of God's courtroom because 2,000 years ago, your fine got paid by the Messiah, by Jesus Christ. So what you've got to do is repent and trust in him. The moment you turn from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, God will forgive all your sins. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll make you a brand new person on the inside. Does that make sense?
I 100% believe,
It makes sense to me, and I do believe that, and I do definitely give my heart and I give my soul to the Lord, and I know that He's watching over me. He's watching over my friends and my family. But
Jerome,
I definitely don't think that that just like solves all the problems. You know,
it won't solve your problems, but it'll solve your legal problem. At the moment, God's
my legal problem with God.
Yes. The moment you're a criminal, He's the judge. His anger abides on you.
Yes.
And if you die in your sins, you go to hell. God commands you to repent and trust in the Savior.
Well,
so do that.
Considered actually doing something. You were saying how every other religion you need to do something and actually to have your sins be washed, and that's technically.
That's a good point.
Something.
That's a good point. But if I give you a gift, you still have to receive it, and it's still a gift when you receive it. And the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've got to receive that gift, and the way to do it is you turn from your sins and trust alone in Jesus Christ. Guys, I wouldn't lie to you. This is your eternity. This is your salvation.
Right.
So please think seriously about this. You don't know when you're going to die. You could die tonight. You could die tomorrow. 150,000 people die every 24 hours. So believing in it makes you more guilty than not believing in it. You're like a criminal who believes in the law and still disobeys the law. So today, repent and trust the Savior. Will you give this some serious thought?
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Definitely. Thanks for having us on the Cameron.
I appreciate you coming out here and talking to me, man.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and that was Ray Comfort witnessing to a young, I think two young men, says Ryan and Gerald. And next we will have a break and then continue with another topic. I think I'm gonna read from Ray Comfort's blog. It's called Atheist Central at raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And that's gonna be on abortion. Once again, you're seeing Truth Be Told Radio. You can check us out at truthbetoldradio.com, and also we have a Facebook page. So if you like this, go join that. And now we will have a message from Woman After God's Own Heart.
Sometimes it's just worth it. She bugs me to no end, and this time I told her exactly what I thought of her.
I guess my question is it worth it? This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. I love John Wesley's quote, "My gift is speaking my mind. God has told me I don't have to exercise that gift." Our behavior reflects our heart. So I have to ask myself, do I love other people by being careful with what I say? When we remember how much God has given us in His Son Jesus, that remarkable gift of His love and forgiveness, is it too much for Him to ask our obedience? The Bible says God is love. He is love. May we as women who say we love God continue to grow and love Him and others even more. This is Elizabeth George.
The Quran, is it different to Genesis? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
You know, I've been asked, what are some of the differences between the Quran and the Bible's book of Genesis? Well, while it's true that the Quran says that the scriptures Christians use were given by God, there are some major differences between Genesis chapters 1 through 11 and the Quran. For example, the Bible says man was created on earth in the Garden of Eden, but the Quran says that man was created in paradise, not earth. Our Bible says creation happened over six 24-hour days. Now, while the Quran says creation happened in 6 days, they could be interpreted as millions of years. And the Bible says we're saved by grace and not by works, but the Quran says those with a heavy balance of good deeds will attain salvation. Others will abide in hell. So Christians need to know how to defend their faith against false religions like Islam. And knowing the real history of the world, as clearly stated in Genesis, gives us confidence to reach Muslims with the true gospel.
As we close out the year, we have a brand new tool for 2010 that's not only striking, but filled with Bible upholding information. For your donation of any size, we'll send you our 2010 wall calendar. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or get this wonderful wall calendar by going to our website of answersoffer.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is coming to this earth. Can you imagine how wonderful it will be? Actually, you can't. You've never seen or heard nor imagined anything as wonderful as what God has got in store for those that love Him. Think of the most beautiful rose, the cutest puppy, the most breathtaking sunset, or the magnificence of a snow-covered mountain.
Imagine now that you were there before God created those things. There would be no way you could have predicted such a creation. And even though we can see how unspeakably great God is through the creation we see, He says, "Behold, I make all things new." So never think of heaven as a kind of spooky home for departed spirits. It's down to earth. New bodies, utter perfection, and pleasure forevermore. No more pain, suffering, or death.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Oh, he's so adorable. He's got your eyes, honey.
Oh.
Come on, watch him, Mommy Trevor. Come on. Here you go. Look, how is he doing it?
I see him. Come here, big guy.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Come on, Trevor.
You do it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
Hit a home run.
Coming up on the stoplight. Now, don't forget your brakes, son. Son. Son?
Do you, Trevor, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
I'll never see him grow up. Why was I so blind?
Abortion, the great heartbreak of our day. The Bible has the answers to our culture's biggest needs. To learn more, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
That's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And we are going to read the from raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, also known as Atheist Central. And it's a blog that is written by Ray Comfort. And it says, for the question, it says, "What God's Word Says About Abortion," by Lynn Copeland. God speaks very clearly in the Bible on the value of unborn children. God's Word says that He personally made each one of us, and has a plan for each life. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Jeremiah 1:5. "Even before I was born, God had chosen me to be His." Galatians 1:15. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me." Psalm 139:13-16. "Your hands shaped me and made me. Did you not clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You gave me life." Job 10:8-12. "This is what the Lord says, He who made you, who formed you in the womb." Isaiah 44:2. "Did not He who made me in the womb make them. They're not the same one form us both with our mothers. Job 31:15. Because man is made in God's own image, Genesis 1:27, each life is of great value to God. Children are a gift from God. Psalm 127:3. He even calls our children his own. You took your sons and daughters, whom you bore to me, and sacrificed them. You slaughtered my children. Ezekiel 16:20-21. The Bible says of our Creator, in his hands is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. Job 12:10. God, the giver of life, commands us not to take the life of an innocent person. Do not shed innocent blood. Jeremiah 7:6. Cursed is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person. Deuteronomy 27:25. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. Taking the life of the unborn child, is clearly murder. He didn't kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. Jeremiah 20:17. And God vowed to punish those who ripped open the woman with child. Amos 1:13. The unborn child was granted equal protection in the law. If he lost his life, the one who caused his death must lose his own life. If men who are fighting a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life. Exodus 21:22-23. Life is a gift created by God and is not to be taken away by abortion. God is pro-choice, but he tells us clearly the only acceptable choice to make. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. And then there's a picture. It's one day's work in Kennedy Abortion Clinic. It features about four babies that were aborted in a trash bag. And it's from www.100abortionpictures.com. And it says the National Right to Life Sunday was observed this month, along with the anniversary of Roe versus Wade since 1973. Approximately 52 million unborn children have had their lives snuffed out through abortion. And it says, warning, not for children, for the many of you who have been saying that the photos on the Vogue site are not real, please take time to watch The Silent Scream. It's at www.silentscream.org. There you will see graphic video of a baby being aborted. And this is from Ray Comfort. Blog today. It says it was written by Lynn Copeland, though. And also Martian. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about Roe versus Wade. That lady has the one that was Roe. It was a pseudonym, but she, like, now, like, is against abortion, and she actually worked in an abortion clinic for a while, and she got to see, like, the pieces of babies and how dirty it was and just how awful it was. And I heard from someone that told me, I don't know if this is totally true, but I think they're right, they said that actually Roe versus Wade never actually technically legalized abortion, but it was used as propaganda for people who are pro-abortion. And like many people say, they should just call it what it is. It's murder of a child. and is it worse is just the word that they use to, I guess, make it sound different, like, than what it actually is. But that was from Ray Comfort Food, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, also known as Atheist Central. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I might sound like a little bit more nasally or stuffed up because I am a little bit. And, oh, there's my co-host, Jenna Rich. She's in the chat room. And he is now on the air. I'm going to bring him off. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
I was just talking about abortion. Because I was reading from Ray Comfort.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to get on there in a while. By the way, I sound nasally too.
Yeah.
So we can all sound like a bunch of Smurfs.
Yeah, it's just weird because before, like, I think I just woke up like a little while before the show, and then also like I just got stuffed up. Like, it's not really like a cold or anything. It's just like sometimes it happens with me, like especially when I first wake up.
Yeah, you're in that cold air climate anyway, you know. Easy to get sick, really. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like how you said it's very, very in the 70s. I think you said that before. Yeah, it's really warm weather there. Meanwhile, I'm in the it's balmy. I actually tell people it's bikini weather in Wisconsin here, so. That was like a joke to me. It's kind of like, you know, a bikini weather in Wisconsin is 20 degrees. You know, anything below zero, anything above zero is bikini weather for Wisconsin. So, anyway, yeah. So one more bad joke later. Anyway, I haven't got a chance to get on there. Now, I know Ray is, and as we all should be, is a staunch supporter of, you know, the pro-life and all that stuff. And he, I remember him saying in one of his sermons, I have one of the classic comfort with a lot of his messages on them. I remember him saying that if God would allow him to do one thing in his life, he'd like to take a large truck and ram every abortion clinic in the United States. And, you know, as sinful as that may seem for someone to request, I believe we should all have the same passion for abortion, for the, you know, going, being in front of any abortion. If you have an abortion clinic in your city, anyone listening, please go there. I remember Mark Cahill. I heard a sermon with him. He had talked about just standing in front of there, not really holding a sign, but talking to people and asking the women going in there, are you glad that your mother did not believe in abortion? And, you know, that's a tough question to answer, because you're going in doing the same thing. And then, you know, if the person says, yes, I'm glad my mother did not believe in abortion, well, don't you want your child to say the same thing of you? And it's a heart wrencher, because these women are coming in, they're really emotionally distraught. Some of them, I'd say they go in and they have this little facade they put on, but they're emotionally distraught. I mean, because they're emotionally connected with that child. They know it's a living child in them. And what other decision they make, you know, either whether it's by convenience or, you know what? And I face this locally. We have a friend. Me and my wife and I have a friend, and their child had gotten pregnant at a young age. On one end of it, true, she shouldn't have been sexually active because she was really young, but the one thing that, praise God, about is the fact that she's keeping the child and she's going to take care of the child. And, you know, whether it's help from mom or grandparents or anything, aunts, uncles, whatever, she's going to get help and she's going to keep the child. And, you know, And obviously, you know, whatever happens, it happens. It's a difficult thing because if my 9, 10, 11-year-old daughter, I've got an 11-year-old daughter about to turn 12, and she came home and you know, I talked to her and had some of the big questions, and, you know, as uncomfortable as it is, and it's going to be for any parent to have to talk to their kids about that, they're learning. I'll tell you something, parents, they're learning this stuff early. They're learning it way early. They're learning it
and they
8, 9, 10.
They should be learning it from you.
Yeah.
They
well, that's
be
what
learning.
I'm saying. Well, that's what I mean. You need to, exactly. You need to educate your kids and tell them about the dangers and stuff of staying pure. And if, even if it doesn't happen, your child comes home and something has happened. And obviously, I hope, parents, that you're keeping more of an eye on your kids than that. But if something happens to that nature, then you know it's still God is involved in it. And God wants that baby to live, and God wants you to be a parent. The baby needs a parent. The child was put in this world, no matter what the circumstance, by God and for a purpose, for God's purpose. So I'm training them up into that. So it's important, once you're faced with that, to make those decisions prayerfully and to seek God on all things. You know, I mean, you could dwell on what happened or what didn't happen or what could have happened, but it's the here and now that God works in. Obviously, he knew what was going to happen beforehand. He knows what's going to happen after. But it's the decisions you make, you know, prayerfully seeking God if something like this would happen. So, obviously, any parent that had gotten pregnant, I don't know the percentage of planned pregnancies. I was thinking about that just now. I don't know. I don't, you know, because in my era, in the 80s, I grew up in, you know, you get kids in our age who grew up in school saying, ah, you were an accident. Yeah, you were this, and your mom didn't mean to have you. You know, and obviously it attacks your personality, and you get kind of, you know, and you happen to ask your parent or something. You know, I just grew up with the mother, so asking her, was I an accident? Well, no, you know, you're not an accident. And the definition of an accident, really, I mean,
like,
what is that?
I said God planned you.
Exactly, and you know that's the thing. And I never grew up in a Christian home, so I never had that growing up. But I did have try to have some encouragement in the sense. Obviously, I have a big brother, so he played a big part in trying to make my life miserable to some extent, as big brothers do. But the fact of the matter is, defining an accident in the sense of, oh, we didn't mean to have you and we had you. I think at first, a parent that has not planned to have a child, you know, at first would say, oh, you know, have a type of worry. What are we going to do? But ultimately, as the pregnancy goes on and before the child's born, it becomes a blessing, whether you're a Christian or not. You see that child and you know that child is part of me, whether you're
they
a father
fall in love
or
with the child.
Exactly.
They,
and it becomes a connection. Yeah, even more so for the mother. So,
yeah, it's funny too, because like you said, how many people actually plan a child, especially people before they even knew how to do anything to plan a child, like before like all this modern day stuff, people had children and that's just the way it was. It's not like, oh, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? It's like,
right,
before they knew about how regular thing as a woman's period or whatever you call it, like menstrual cycle, like people just knew, like it's just a everyday thing. And then also another thing that saddens me though is I think here in California, I think they actually have a law, I think it's about 72 hours. I think if you are a mother and you had a baby and you don't want your baby, you can take it to a hospital. You don't have to throw it away in the trash can like some people do instead. You can drop it off at the hospital. There will be no questions asked. And they will take care of it and eventually find somebody probably to adopt it. And I think
people just need to think
about adoption.
Well, I mean, the adoption thing is an option, and that gives the chance for the child to still have, you know, parents, to grow up with parents and everything like that, and that's great. I mean, preferably, obviously, you want to keep your child and bond with it, and there's nothing like that at all. Having children and raising them, it's been one of the most life-altering things that's ever happened to me in my life, having two girls. And so, I mean, it's something that I think needs to be, if someone, obviously, if God has blessed someone and they're doing something for God and they don't have kids, but they... either they want them or they question, they know God's got them in a certain spot, or maybe they never wanted kids. And, you know, that's fine. God has that. God has those uses for people in that situation that never have kids. But the ones that do, and God has provided the areas and the times and the planning for them to do it, and planning is great. But the adoption thing, that's, I mean, it would be hard. But if you feel like you can't, then obviously the obvious answer is not to kill your baby. It's they can find another home. There are tons of adoption agencies everywhere, and if that has to be an option for some parents, then that's an option that God will honor, because you're still taking care of the child and trying to get him a home. Obviously, a lot of teen pregnancies that don't keep the child. They feel like, well, maybe I don't have an emotional tie to the child, so I can give it up easy. And sometimes that's not so easy. So, I mean, you know, it's not so easy. It's not something that you'd want to do. So, I mean, but at the same time, it happens. Tons of people, and tons of people that can't have kids that want to adopt, and they make plans to adopt, and they get married, and they say, we can't have any kids, let's adopt. You know, there's adoption agencies for that. So fact of the matter is, abortion, obviously, and we've talked about this before, and I'm pretty sure Ray covered it in his article. I never read it yet, but obviously it is murder. And
what happens too is mothers will be like, oh, I could never give up my baby. It's like it's they don't want it. It's like, but it's like you'd rather murder it than give it up. That doesn't sound very fair. It's like, it's still like, that's the sad thing. It's like, okay, you'd rather kill it than give it up. It's like,
well, it's the fact of, I mean, some, and I'm not speaking for all women or, you know, all women on this issue, but I have seen some that will act like they don't want the baby, but put it up as a shield. Well, they're not going to, that's just something. It's a thing that someone's not going to take from them. We're not going to take that from me. I have a right to my child, even though I may not want it. Sounds silly,
yeah.
But at the same time, that happens. That does happen a lot, actually, where women will put their kids up in front of them as a shield and say, well, you're not going to take this from me. Of all things I've had taken from me in my life, you're not going to take my child. And they're almost forcing themselves to love the baby, or forcing themselves to emotionally connect with the child. And obviously that's not how it works. A mother is emotionally connected from the fact before birth, you know, during pregnancy. So, I mean, you know, and that's obvious. There's an emotional connection there. But at the same time, I mean, things do happen. I'm not making excuses. I'm saying that the baby should not be aborted. That shouldn't even be an option. It shouldn't be. But unfortunately it is in our society. And, you know, obviously, I tell you the truth, I think it was going on before Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade just enhanced the whole thing, enhanced it, brought it out on the front line. So, but yet, still nothing's being done about it. There are abortion protesting and things like that, and people, I'm friend of like Mark Cahill and all them, they're not really protesting. They're pleading with the mothers not to go in and murder their child. And meanwhile, while the husbands or the fathers, for that matter, sit back, or they encourage, even though deep down they realize they almost sear their conscience and basically just not really ignore but encourage it, because they won't have to take the responsibility either. But obviously, it takes two to tango. And when you have sex, you're fornication, outside of marriage, and it's outside the realm of marriage, there are consequences. And so many people don't want to face those consequences. So so they decide to go that route of abortion or adoption, for the fact of the matter is. But it's a lot of it's about responsibility, and I hate to be – I'm not a psychologist by no means, but the way people were raised and how they were – what kind of home they were raised in and how what kind of example was set for them. If there was no responsibility there, then no matter what comes about, they're not going to take responsibility for even a child or anything comes across.
It's kind of funny you mentioned about like mothers about their right, what they think's right, and things like that, because there are actually like people also that are actually the fathers that sometimes are fighting for the right, and maybe even ones that don't want the baby to be aborted. But what's kind of funny is that they are. I think some of them are fighting that they let the child live. I would suppose if maybe the other person was a Christian or something, like maybe they'd want to fight to have the child to live instead of being aborted, being murdered.
Go ahead.
I was just going to remind people if anybody's considering abortion or are for it, there's a website called www.100abortionpictures.com, 100abortionpictures.com, and also an actual abortion being, it's a graphic, so it's not for children, you got to be careful. It's called silentscream.org, silentscream.org, and that's an actual abortion being done. It's actually actual video of abortion being done. So if anybody's considering this or even for it, I think you should watch that, because that's the actual abortion being, and you will see that it's a child.
I'm just saying that the emotional attachment alone would prevent people from wanting to even watch that. Some people who are, I imagine, and I'm just imagining this, I don't know what's going through people's heads, but shame has to be there. It has to be some bit of shame. Obviously, there's hard-heartedness, there's pride, there's stubbornness there, but in deep down, there has to be shame. Shame for what's being done and the fact of not really wanting to pay attention to it, not really wanting to just get it up, just get it over with. It's like it's a flu shot or something, well, let me go ahead and get this over with. That way I don't have to think about it. Well, in the deep recesses of your mind, ma'am, who's having the abortion, who's planning it, it will be there for the rest of your life, and it'll emotionally scar you more than any relationship you could ever be in, whether it's a marriage, divorce, anything. It's going to be there in the back of your mind. Just losing a child for a parent, by something that may happen. I mean, for instance, my mother, my sister was really young. She had my sister for only 2 or 3 months, and she had passed away, and it has emotionally scarred my mother for the rest of her life. And that was from tragically losing a child. Just picture going there willingly before your child is born and having it aborted, knowing that was a human being inside you that was going to be a part of you and love you for the rest of your life. Have that in your heart, on your conscience, and use that shame that you have in you and use it as a fear of not doing what you're not supposed to do, because God knows it's murder. You know it's murder. When you know it's a person there, you realize it's a person inside me. It is murder, and I'm murdering this child. We talk about Haiti. We talk about all the bad stuff that's going on, and so much help is coming there. Evangelists are bringing the gospel there, as well as supplies and everything, meeting the physical needs, but also spiritual needs. We talk about all the stuff that's happening there with the earthquake and how terrible it is, and they put that on the front lines and everything that's going to happen. But they don't ever – the worst tragedy in the world is that of the silent screams, the abortion. That is going on all over the place. People are being murdered, and it's more murders. But people once again sear their conscience and say, "Oh, it's just a glob of goo, and it's not a person." But once they realize, and you can, I've asked some doctors. I work at a hospital, and just and they're squeamish when you ask them, "Is that a person inside? Is conception? Is life begin? Does life begin at conception?" And admittingly, the doctors would have to say yes, because that's the truth of the matter. Is that in their experience, they've seen it. Yes, it's a person, and obviously, I don't ever ask the next question is about abortion. I don't ever ask that. I just ask, when does life begin? And obviously, the answer is, even from a medical doctor, conception. So why can a politician sit there and actually tell you that it's not a person proudly? Well, because they're playing the fiddle for the people. They're wooing them to sleep, and they're making them forget about the fact that it's a person. And obviously, that's Judgment Day will be bad for them, as well as anyone who hasn't repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. The murder, the senseless murder of millions of babies a year. People, leaders, political activists, they're looking on, sear their conscience. They have their own agenda, and that's what matters, is their own agenda, not what's inside the person, not the woman's feelings about the situation of abortion. Their own agenda must be put in front of everything else. And it's sad. But, of course, you know, it's going to get worse in this world before it gets better. And that may be the thing that boils everything over, is the murder of little babies inside the womb, the helpless, defenseless little babies. They're just at a different stage. And if someone has a child at 2, 3, 4, 5 years old or more, or 18, I'm just a baby at a different stage. I went into an adulthood. So I was there. I thank God that my mom did not believe in abortion. Praise Him for that. I wouldn't be here. And I'm, you know, as the more I hear Ray and different people talking about it, it breaks my heart to not only talk to people about their sin, but about that. And I don't know. I think there's an abortion clinic about an hour away from me, and I like to take a team up there one day or here in a few days and go up there and talk to some would-be mothers about the situations and things like that. But we just need to proclaim to them the gospel. It's the gospel that saves, and if they're saved, and you actually talked about that a minute ago, Melissa, as someone that might be a Christian that would be fighting it. Well, obviously, if they're a Christian, it's kind of an oxymoron type thing, in the sense of they wouldn't be fornicating. They wouldn't have the desire to fornicate in the first place, and the fact of being in a sinful act. But obviously, maybe there's a situation where they weren't saved and they fornicated, and then they got saved and want to keep the child, and the other mother doesn't. But believe it or not, the solution's in the gospel. Solutions, preaching the gospel and seeing the sacrifice that God gave for us and giving His only begotten Son. You know, obviously there wasn't an abortion there. There was murder, but He defeated death. And realizing that kind of love, knowing what the gospel is and how marvelous the cross is to us, that sacrifice, you would not want to. And thank God we don't have to. I praise God that He provided the sacrifice for me. I love the analogy that Tony Mignano uses with people and says, you know, if him and his daughters are in the back of the court, and I've used this with other people, and him and his daughters are in the back of the court, and the judge was about to sentence a man they didn't even know to a death sentence, and he stops the court proceedings and looks back there and says, "Mr. Mignano, now, I could set this man free if you sacrifice one of your daughters and give them up for the death sentence." And Tony Mignano says, you know, as much as I would love this man, don't want him to perish in his sins, I cannot. I love my daughters. I could not give up my daughter. But God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That sacrifice that God made should point to us. We don't need We can't do anything. We can't do anything to merit our own salvation. He has done it all, every bit of it. And I thank God for that, that I don't have to, my sacrifice is my life to him. I can't guarantee my kids being saved. I can't guarantee my wife being saved. But I can train them up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. And they would, and pray that they would come to repentance and faith. And my wife has, and to my knowledge, and my kids. I just got done talking to my kids about that. And I thank God that I can have that conversation with my kids, because if I believed in abortion, I wasn't saved when we had our children. If I believed in abortion, then they wouldn't be there for me to tell them that, for them to hear the gospel, to be able to respond to it. And that's another thing I praise God for, is not only, you know, for my children, God giving me my children, because they are gifts, but the fact that I can actually teach them, and that I can be their pastor, so to speak. And that's also something, you know, we can teach kids life lessons, but if they don't know the gospel, then they're not going to, they can't get saved by a gospel you've never heard. So that's another, yeah, you know, way of training your child up. But obviously the first step is keeping your child and knowing that God has a plan for them. I don't want to sound emergent, but God has a plan for that child to glorify him. And there's no accidents. If someone could go around and someone to call themselves a Christian saying that God had an accident or God made an accident, that is ridiculous. That is the ridiculous, most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Nowhere in Scripture you'll find that God made someone. Obviously, whenever, now I go back to Genesis, whenever he flooded the world, he was sorry he created the wicked generation that became of that. That's why he destroyed the world, but he makes the promise that he will not destroy the world by water again. And the fact of the matter is, we have become a wicked and perverse nation. We have. But that cannot stop us as Christians to continue to preach the gospel, especially to those mothers out there who are going to abort their child. And I plead with anyone who's thinking about it, who's even had the thought of it, who maybe is really young and scared and don't have that help there. I want to plead that, you know, your mother didn't believe in adoption, and you're there, and I pray that, you know, your child can say the same thing about you, that maybe you have a story, and maybe you can help someone else, or maybe another mother, if you don't decide to abort your baby, you help another mother with deciding not to, and tell them your story. I was about to, and God actually saved me, and I decided to keep the child and train him up and give God all the glory for it. And that's how God gets glory. God can get glory through a newborn just as much as he could through a 70 or 80-year-old person. He gets glory through anybody at any age, but they need to have a chance to be born. So go ahead.
I wanted to say earlier you mentioned about that Christians wouldn't want to, don't have a desire to fornicate. But I would say that I think there is times that people can get in a relationship and I think it can end up happening. I don't think they will go on it for like a long time, but like I think that they can be influenced by, like, say if they got like a boyfriend or something, and maybe he wasn't Christian, and then like they actually did that. But
true. I mean, true. There are influences out there. I agree with that totally. That obviously, if someone's a Christian, that can't be possessed by a demon, but they can be influenced to sin. Obviously, yeah, that can happen. And
I think what happens though, eventually, you are going to be convicted though, because I think
course,
in my personal situation that happened, because I was in a relationship with someone that I think that kind of thing happened to me, and I still believe that I was a Christian at the time, but I think that I just like ignored my conscience and wanted to be in a relationship more than actually like be faithful to God in that point of my life. So that's why I mentioned that. So I think that actually happened with me and my situation. So that's why I went there.
Obviously, Melissa, you can help others that's been through that. You can help others that you can say, you know what, because that's the main thing people think when they go through things like that. They think, well, no one else has gone through this. They think, I'm all alone in this. No one can help me because no one's went through this. But then God brings somebody like you along and says, hey, you know, you have,
yeah,
and I can relate. And that can help someone get through, because, like I said before, we're relational beings. We have that desire for a relationship and to connect with others.
Yeah, and actually, I was really against, I still am, but I was, like, against premarital sex, and but what happened is I got with someone, and I thought that, I told him about the gospel and stuff. I thought he was, Christian and stuff, but then we ended up doing things that were, fornication and just also sexual, and I think that I wanted so much to just have that thing, be married and stuff, but I didn't and of course I didn't end up marrying him, but I thought it was gonna so I thought it was I thought it was all right, but I just was going against my conscience, and I knew the right thing to do, but I wanted so much to be in love and have a husband and stuff like that, and that I just thought, I kind of, played it off, just, oh, it's going to be all right, because we're going to get married, just like that. But that's why I mentioned that earlier, is because I do believe still that I was a Christian, but I knew it was wrong, and eventually, we did break it off for actually one of the things that he was doing. He was into pornography, but also, of course, after that, after that happened, I knew that it was wrong, too, that it wasn't the right relationship. And also, he ended up being, he was a liar, a person, because I remember you said that before you're a Christian, that you ended up, lying a lot, and you believe your lies, and then I think that's the way he was. He was that kind of person that he lied so much that he believed his own lies, and that he was just a storyteller and elaborate things. So now I'm not even sure if he really loved me. He said that he never had exactly feelings like that. Maybe just be with me, but didn't really me. So that's why I was talking about that, and that I just hope people don't, you said, people don't make the same mistake, because for many, it was, I think when I had the relationship was 2007, and I had waited so long, with the thoughts that, that one day I'll be married and it'll be special for my husband, but then I went against that, and even my sister was disappointed. And it's funny because she wasn't she's not the kind of person that you would think that would be actually disappointed that I didn't do it. But I guess she was kind of hoping that I would be right and I would actually do what I had said for years and years not to do. But then I was surprised that she was surprised that I actually did it. So, but then it just shows you that people are watching to see if you're see what you say and be with integrity. So that's even more a reason not to do it, but the main reason is because it's a sin and it's against God, and it's not what God wants for you.
Yeah, that's true. And I think God lets you know, obviously, through your conscience. And like you said, you had ignored your conscience so long. And
he did. He did. After the actual act, I won't say, detail, but I cried. I cried, maybe not the first time, but after a little while, I cried. It's like my body was telling me I sinned. I cried. I started crying. And And then it just shows you the way, like it says in the Bible, it says your body is, like, well, for us as a Christian, temple of the Holy Spirit, and that it, that you're sinning against your body when you do something like fornication. And that, like I just said, I just cried. I was like, I didn't even expect that to happen. And then, but also, like, I want to finish what you're saying also about abortion, that before you're saying about abortion, like how like it's in the womb, people say that the most dangerous place for a child to be is actually in his mother's womb, which is pretty sad.
Yeah,
and,
you're right. You know, and the fact of the matter is they know it. Just much like an atheist knows God's existence, they know it's a child inside them because of the connection, because of the fact that it's moving. The fact that they start feeling things that are not normal for a glob of goo. They know it, and the mother knows it. So, like I said before, the emotional connection's there automatically, and they just, you know, they deny it. Their conscience is seared, and they gather people. If they're not feeling guilty, if they are feeling guilty, they gather people around them that think like they do, and, you know, so they won't feel guilty. Like, yeah, it's the right decision. Yeah, it's the right decision. And they get other people around them stating it's the right decision.
And I just want... if anybody's like listening, they want to talk a little bit more about this, either about like what I was talking about earlier with relationships and being true to God with your body or purity, or also abortion, you should call in if you want to. Our phone number is 347-884-9505. 347-884-9505. Also, I think we're going to take a break now because we've been talking a long time, so we'll give you some of this. Let's see, we will do AIG, that's Answers and Justice. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
E.T. Well, we're still listening.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the authors of the shocking new book, Already Gone.
Do you recall the time a generous donor gave $13.5 million to help fund the search for extraterrestrial life? Well, the staff at SETI, that is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, said the donation will be used to create a special radio telescope, one that will be made up of more than 200 satellite dishes, and the purpose? To collect signals from space. The donor, by the way, was Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft. You see, he's an evolutionist. And apparently, Mr. Allen believes that if life evolved on Earth, then it must have evolved elsewhere. He's like so many evolutionists. They're desperate to prove evolution because they don't want to believe they're responsible to the Creator God of the Bible. But to find signs of intelligence, you only have to examine our DNA, that molecule of heredity. Then you'd realize that a great intelligence has to be responsible for this coded information system. You see, the Bible tells us that Creator God is the one responsible. We don't need to look to the heavens for an answer. It's in the Creator's Word, the Bible.
While scientists try to find life in outer space, what are they now saying about the origin of intelligence on Earth, including where all the different races came from? The Bible and science have the answer, which Ken Ham reveals in a fascinating booklet. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, and we'll send 10 of them to you for a gift of any size. 888-89-ANSWERS.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
When Hugh Hefner was asked, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? He replied, oh, I think the one question I'd really like to know is the question related to an afterlife, and the other one is the meaning of it all. The godly don't need to ask these kinds of questions because the Bible gives us the answers. The afterlife is no mystery unless we make it a mystery by refusing to believe the truth of Scripture.
Those who refuse to believe are left without any reason for existence. One well-known actor said that when he dies, his last words will be, "That was nice. I wonder what that was all about." What a tragedy. What a terrible awakening they will get when they stand before a holy creator. You must warn them.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I can tell you've never been a mother. My problem isn't managing my time. It's not having enough time to manage.
I'm with you, but I think we can manage our time, at least better. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. It would be great to have even a few minutes for yourself. One mom told me, "I'm really having difficulty managing being a mother, wife, and employee. I spend weekends trying to catch up, but I feel like I'm drowning." It may seem impossible, but spend some time every day thinking and praying about today and tomorrow, even a week out. It'll help you manage your priorities and even give you a few minutes to spend in prayer or reading your Bible. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Great news for a busy mom.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told on Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Ketchel, and also my co-host is Guy Reynolds. I'm going to play the song, "It's About the Cross," because it is about the cross. And you said you could download some music too for us to play later.
Yeah, either Apologetics, Go Fish, or Shylin, or... Of course, we're listening to Go Fish now, so I guess it'd be either Apologetics or Shylin, but
yeah. Well, either way, yeah, we're gonna have some music later. We're not a music station, but we play music. Usually, it's ones that are about Jesus and honoring to God, and sometimes a bit of fun, but still, sometimes with the Christian theme to it, like Apologetics.
Next week, I think we'll play some. I have the CD Exalted Worship available at wretchedradio.com.
Oh, yeah.
You can also get it on iTunes. I have that. I'll tell you what, I listen to that on the way to work every morning, and it's such a blessing. It has not only hymns or music, but it has also prayers that bring you down to earth, basically humble you, the prayers do, and we lift up God in all the process. So it's an awesome CD. We'll play some of my favorites from that, some of my favorite prayers and songs from that next week and as we get into it. So this song, though, Go Fish song, is a lot of people, it's about Christmas, obviously, what Christmas is about. But think about it every day. I mean, not just Easter or Christmas and why Jesus came to this earth and what he came to do, but the whole fact of the gospel. It's what the gospel is about. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you realize your sinfulness state before a holy God, you find that you've broken his law, and you need a Savior. You need a Savior to forgive your sins. Buddha can't help. Muhammad can't help. No other religion can help. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus claimed to be the only way. He claimed to be God in the flesh. He's either a lunatic or a liar, or he is who he said he was. He is who he says he is. And he's alive now. And he commands everyone else, everywhere, to repent, turn from their sin, and put your full trust in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And that's what this song's about. It's about the cross. When you look back, you find out, you know, what a sinful person I am, what I deserve, what God should do to me. Then you look at what was done on the cross. It makes much more magnificent. The cross I can't explain it. It magnifies the cross so much when you see your sinfulness before God, what he should do with you, but instead what he's done for you through Jesus Christ. This is Go Fish. It's about the cross.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross.
That's Go Fish, speaking of that. We are Truth Be Told Radio with Melissa Cantola and Guy Reynolds. We're your hosts. And let's see. I have to see what, I think I'll just look it up right, and then we'll decide what we're going to do next for a little bit.
The word all, well, it makes Noah's Flood global.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the writers and editors for Answers Magazine.
You know, the only way we can know the truth about the catastrophe of Noah's Flood is to have an eyewitness account or record of it. And fortunately, God inspired people to record these events in the Bible, the history book of the world. You know, in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, there's one word that gives us a clear answer on the extent of the flood. It's the word all, which is kol in Hebrew, and it's used 72 times in those chapters. In Genesis chapter 7, we read that all the high mountains under all the heavens were covered. In Hebrew, this double use is meant to eliminate any possibility of uncertainty. I'd say God is really going out of his way to tell us that Noah's flood was global. So why don't some people believe all means all? It's because they have listened to the words of fallible men who weren't there, who believe in millions of years and no global flood. They deny the very clear answers from our infallible Creator who was there.
Does that mean all people in the world today are descendants of Noah's family? Ken Ham provides the answer in an intriguing booklet on the origin of the races. It makes for such great reading, and it's also evangelistic. We want to send 10 of them to you for your gift of any size. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or through the web at answersoffer.org.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Water can make noise, whether it's a dripping faucet or a thundering waterfall. Water is not just wet, it can also be noisy. Waters, that's our word for today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. When we describe how something looks or what kind of sound it makes, we often use metaphors and say, well, it's like this. It was so tough it was like chewing on leather, or it was a wispy sound like a soft breeze in the trees. Well, that's what John was doing in Revelation 1 when he tried to explain the vision he saw of Jesus. He said that Jesus' hair was white like wool, as white as snow. He said that Jesus' feet were like fine bronze glowing in a furnace. Then when describing Jesus' voice in Revelation 1:15, he said, "And his voice was like the sound of many waters." Yesterday we looked at the word voice, and today I want us to consider the analogy that it was like the sound of many waters. The word water is the Greek word hudor, which is where we get our English word hydro. A hydroelectric plant is where electricity is produced by water power, and hydrophobia is the fear of water. Well, the root of this word is the word for rain, moving water falling out of the sky. Have you ever been in a heavy rainstorm and tried to carry on a conversation? It's hard to hear one another because the sound of the rain is so deafening. Actually, the awesome sound of many waters makes me think of Niagara Falls on the border between New York State and Canada. Never have I heard so much water making so much noise. The sound of so much water flowing over the precipice into the Niagara River is thunderous. Now, that's what John says the voice of Jesus was like. It was like the thunderous sound of many waters. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, make no mistake about it. At the time of judgment, Jesus' voice will be awesome.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org.
The Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
You're listening to the Truth Be Told Radio. I am Lost Tetra. I'm one of your hosts. I mean, one of your hosts. My other host is Diane Reynolds.
How about you? You were saying hostess like the host of snack cake.
Hostess with the most. Oh.
Yeah, like, you're like the, I'm the hostess. You know, whoa, I'm thinking Twinkies.
No, I'm actually not supposed to eat stuff like that anymore. I have diabetes. Just in case you guys don't know, actually it's a serious thing to have diabetes. I might actually talk about that more some other time, I don't know. But in case people don't know, like, you don't have to be, like, overweight to get diabetes. It's just one of your, the way your genetics is. And, like, there's some people, like I said before, I think, like, say, like, Halle Berry, like, she's, like, super skinny, and she has diabetes, and, well, when you're, like, African-American or like me, like, Mexican-American, like, you have more, like, chance to get it. And, actually, I did take medication, too, because the medication I take gave me more of a chance to get it. But I still took it because I did try to go to some other medication for my mental illness. Like, but what happened is it wouldn't work as well. So it just made me depressed and made me worse. So I went back to other one because it did work, even though it did give me a predisposition, something, way of getting diabetes. And I actually did get it. I didn't really think that I was going to get it, but I did, and now I have to test my blood and have to be more careful, even though I think I still not as careful as I should be, but it's like, it's kind of sad, because like, I told my sister before, like, you're not supposed to like, eat that kind of stuff anymore, so it makes you kind of sad, because like, you can't eat it anymore, because you're all used to it. And actually, that if you eat more sugary stuff, you're also more likely to get it too. Like, if you eat, like, a lot of times, like, sugar. Like, because what it does is, I think it overworks your pancreas, and that's one of the ways you get it. But, like I said, you're more predisposed to get it if, like, say, you're a certain thing, like, African-American, Mexican-American, or your mom had it, or your dad had it, or... Like, my mom had gestational diabetes, and then she got it also later. So I knew there's a chance I was going to get it too. And then once you get it, you have to really take care of your mind more because, like, everything can go out of whack, like, because as far as you're supposed to be, like, regulating your blood with the, like, say, the medication or whatever you take, and, like, your feet can get messed up or... your eyes, you could actually go blind because of, like, the blood was going through there, right, and stuff. But so far, I'm doing okay with that. And I didn't mean to go too serious, but I did.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that.
Right.
But, yeah, I still like some sweetie things sometimes. Like, well, actually now, like, there's these things like bicycles, but then like I think they have like low sugar, like the ones that I get, because this is like no sugar added, and it already has like low sugar. So, but also I try to do things that have like no sugar, like the fake sugar, what we call it. And but those things, I don't know, I heard somebody say that like it still makes you like produce stuff for weird because of the sweet taste, but then I don't know, my sister was saying that she don't think that's right. But if anybody could tell me that for sure, I would like to know, because I'll try to eat the fake sugar so I don't get my blood sugar spiked up as much, you know. Wow. So if anybody could tell me that, our phone number is 347-884-9505, 347-884-9505. But also, do you got some new stuff for us to play?
Yeah, I've got a song actually by Apologetics, and the song is called, it's off their Apollo Acoustics album. It's basically an album they did with mostly acoustics. There's maybe one or two songs on acoustics, and pretty cool song. It's actually a parody from the song Picture from Sheryl Crow and Kid Rock. It was a popular song. A few years ago, and it's basically about the importance of Scripture and finding Scripture and saying, you know, am I going to put it away? Am I going to pick it up? Is it going to change my life? What? So that's basically the gist of the song, what I gathered anyway from it. Now, you know, Jay Jackson could have another, you know, why he wrote the song, but it, if you listen to the words, it talks about the importance of having Scripture and reading Scripture. Instead of, you know, picture, it's called Scripture, and of course it's, you know, they do it to a T. They know how to, obviously the music's there, but they also know, how to harmonize.
I was going to say, like, a lot of times, like, there's this thing, like, where it's supposed to be, like, maybe food from the South, they tend to call it soul food. And I was like, nah, the real soul food is the Bible, because it feeds you spiritually. And so that's why I just wanted to add to that.
That's a good one. I never thought about that. That I guess there's our lame sermon illustration, soul food.
Yeah.
We have one ourselves, so. This is apologetics.com, APOLOGETIX.com. You want to find out where they're going to be. They're all over the United States all this year. They keep adding new shows. Fabulous band. They take secular music and they Christianize it basically word for word. And you put Scripture, not just Scripture in it, but you put, not just put stories in it, but you get taught. Every time you listen to one of their songs, you're either laughing a little bit, but you get taught Scripture. You can tell he's a big studier of the Word, so. Speaking of the Word, this song's called Scripture by Apologetics on Truth Be Told Radio.
Living my life like there's no hell. In the drawer there's a Bible at the hotel. I can see it's some kind of pre-planned place. Been fool enough to go play it risky. Wish I thought the good Lord would miss me. Lord, I wonder what you meant by saved by grace. I put your Scripture away. Stop trying to find the way. I can't look for truth while I'm lying. That's the worst. I put your Scripture away. I know that crime don't pay. I can't look at you now, I'm crying. Yes, it hurts. I called you last night at the hotel. Everyone goes through their slow spells. But that half-started bumble has something you just can't deny.
I left that book for you so you'd find it, and you did. Don't put my scriptures away. I don't care where you've been. I said that book is true, why not try it? Let me in. Open. It was the strangest thing how it happened. Since you called God, my world's been starting to change. I decided to read the Bible today.
The quotes started jumping off the page. But when they read it in church,
about you for a long time. It seems as if you read my mind. That's because the scriptures are living like they say. I'm glad you picked up today. God wouldn't change your ways. I just called you. I'm glad you picked up today. My word and changed my ways. I just called your name. I want you to come back home. I just called your name. I want you to come back home.
Amen. That's called Scripture by Apologetics. It's a parody from the song Picture by Sheryl Crow and Kid Rock. And I must say that Jay Jackson does a better job. I'm just partial. That's me. I'm not to down the others, but as much as, you know, the fact of the content of what the song was about before, as opposed to what it's about now, I'd rather be singing about scripture than.
I remember the other song when they started playing it. I was like, oh yeah, now I know what this is. It's kind of sad because it's kind of hard to at first distinguish the other song for this when you're talking about different ones.
I mean, oddly enough, people listen. They'll go to Apologetics concert, they'll listen to an album of theirs, and they'll do that. They'll try to place the other lyrics in there, and they'll end up singing the Apologetics lyrics. And that's really a lot of times how Apologetics gets their fans, because people are fans of the music, secular music, and they're like, wow, that has some really – they'll say, well, I remember this song. Then they'll start singing the other words, and then when they hear the actual words that Jay Jackson wrote, they say, wow, those words have a little bit better meaning. And they start singing that with that tune. And now if I'm at work or I hear secular music and I hear a song, I already know there's a parody for it. I'll sing the parody in my mind.
I
automatically play
the words
in there.
When a secular song is stuck in your mind and you're like, go away. I don't want to think about that.
Oh, yeah, people are not liking it. Yeah, they'll laugh at first, but then, for instance, I was at work the other day, and the Guns N' Roses song, Welcome to the Jungle, came on, and I started singing Welcome to the Judges. and they started going, what are you talking about? And the other day, Bohemian Rhapsody came on by Queen. I started singing Bohemian Rhapsody about David and Goliath. And I can tell the looks on people's faces are like, oh, man, he's doing that Christian stuff again. He's singing that Christian parodies enough. I mean, I could break out in hymns, you know, to them and start singing.
Yeah.
I could do that. You know, matter of fact, that might be a good idea for work Monday. I don't know. But anyway, we'll go right into a witnessing encounter.
Yeah.
From Living Waters University. You can get on YouTube.com. I'm not a big proponent of YouTube. And at the same time, I'll get on there and, you know, Living Waters and other people, Tony Mignano, they've used YouTube for the glory of God, so I praise God for that. But at the same time, I think, you know, YouTube has, you can, there's some bad stuff on there that you can get to, but there's also some good stuff. So I implore you to go to YouTube.com and on the search box, type in Living Waters University. And you can hear and see, actually, some of these witness encounters. That's the thing about radio. You can't really see their facial expressions. But this particular witness encounter is very, very interesting. And Kirk Cameron's going to set it up here, talking about – Ray is going to talk to Ryan and Jerome.
I already played that one.
Oh, you already played the witnessing encounter, Ryan and Jerome?
I tried to tell you earlier.
Ah, you already played at the beginning. Okay, yeah.
That's
no problem.
Maybe you can play a song mistaken. I thought having another recording.
I've got a Shaolin song on cue here.
Okay.
Called Jesus is Alive. So I'm trying to get it. It's processing now. So I'm trying to get it to go. It's on the ready status. Awesome. Let me refresh the switchboard. I wish we had one of those switchboards like the big radio stations have. They can stop and start each thing, but we
I should have bumper music.
This song is one of my favorite songs. I don't know, my buddy Chris is listening, so this is one of my favorite songs that Shyland has. It's called Jesus is Alive. It talks about all kinds of other people being dead, but the one person that is alive now, Jesus, he defeated death forever, and he's alive to this day. This is Shyland. This is off the Atonement CD called Jesus is Alive.
Picasso is dead.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin are dead.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe is dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Brando is dead. James Brown is dead.
Yeah.
Princess Di and John Lennon are dead.
Yeah.
Biggie Smalls and Pac are dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Give praise to King Jesus, the blessed Son, victorious, glorious, resurrected one. To him belongs the power, glory, and honor. Ascended where he sits at the right hand of the Father. At the cross he made atonement, his people he saved. After 3 days he was raised and defeated the grave. By faith the elect behold him, his scepter is golden. He must have been hot and slippery because death couldn't hold him. The spotlight is on today's icons. In 1,000 years nobody will care, their light's gone. But at that time Christ will still shine bright. He's not in the limelight, he is the limelight. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for the body of Jesus, you won't find it. We never lack spirit, letting you catch hear it, cause it seems empty like most secular rap lyrics.
Plato is dead, Socrates is dead,
yeah.
Aristotle and Immanuel Kant are dead,
yeah.
Nietzsche and Darwin are dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah.
Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead,
yeah.
Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead,
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad is dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Throughout history, there's been mad religious leaders, prophets, preachers, scholars, teachers. But when it came to the grave, no one could climb out. That's where Jesus stands alone, like taking a time out. And don't be misled, I got a level head. No resurrection, Christianity would have never spread. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. That would be beyond ridiculous. Not an issue is the risen Christ seen by 500 eyewitnesses. Imagine 500 people in a court of law, each of them taking to stand reporting what they saw. If their stories lined up and made sense, the evidence would have to leave you convinced,
no doubt.
But still it's by faith that we trust and praise the Son who was raised for our justification. Check it out.
Nero is dead, Constantine is dead,
yeah.
Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun are dead,
yeah.
Alexander the Great is dead. However,
is alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Napoleon is dead, Lao Tzu is dead,
yeah.
Che Guevara and Henry VIII are dead,
what?
Saddam Hussein is dead, however, Jesus is alive. Through faith in Christ, we've been saved from hell. Because he's risen, it means we'll be raised as well. In glorified bodies fit for the new earth. For now, we participate in the new birth. The universal reality of the true church. With resurrection power, watch the spirit do work. United with Christ, we reside in his light. Abide in his might, keeping stride as we fight. The pride in our life, the lies and the spite. We strive to be wise as he guides. Through the night, he'll chide and he'll slice. Recognize that he's right. His brightness inside lights our eyes. And it's tight, decided to die to wash white all our strife. His life was the price to delight in his wife. He told death strike just to rise like a kite. All eyes on the Christ, let's prize him tonight. Pharaoh is dead, Cyrus is dead,
yeah.
Darius and Sennacherib are dead,
yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Caesar is dead, Herod is dead,
yeah.
Annas, Caiaphas, and Judas are dead,
yeah.
Pontius Pilate is dead, however,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah,
yeah. He's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all.
What?
He's alive, y'all.
Yeah.
He's alive, y'all. All praise to the risen one, the Lord Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
All right, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You were bobbing your head. Everyone was bobbing their head.
Nobody likes to be.
You've got it. Everyone was. You was just getting a little gangster thing going on and throwing your hand up in the air like you don't care, you know. So I know I was. So anyway, that was Shy Lynn. Jesus is alive. And I'm trying to get some more of his stuff. It's you can get it online. I believe he's got a MySpace page also, S-H-A-I, and his last name is L-I-N-N-E. There's also other rappers, Lecrae, and there's some other gospel gangsters. I've heard of them.
He's the one that
what is
I really like. He's the one that I really like because he does, like, all that talking about theology and stuff. And it's like, because usually I don't, like, tend to like the rap genre, but, like, it's just, like, if it has good lyrics, then I'm like, yes, finally something that I can listen to, like, because I'm so used to, like, other rap songs being about so much bad stuff that I'm like, wow, someone I can listen to.
You don't hear the words, if someone pulls up beside you in a car and you listen to that, they're, you know, maybe an older person's like, those hooligans listen to that rap music. They don't understand what it's about. You're getting theology in there. And it's unheard of to some people who traditional. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the traditional music, but there is some music out there that you can really get blessed to, and you really get your groove on at the same time, get your theology on. So,
yeah.
I also have just downloaded another witness encounter we can end with. We got about 7 minutes left. It's about 5 minutes long, so we can say our goodbyes. So next week we're going to play some exalted worship too, not just some hymns next week, but some prayers. That I actually put some prayers, those prayers on Facebook in the mornings and stuff, and I try to encourage with scripture and things like that. But they're awesome prayers, and obviously there's scripture in it too, so that makes it even better. So.
I want to remind people of truthbetoldradio.com.
Yeah, I appreciate everyone listening. I know, I know Melissa does too. We appreciate you all listening.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been listening for a while, or you can archive our episodes also on iTunes. You can also go to truthbetoldradio.com, or of course blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/truthbetoldradio. Long name, but we promise it's worth it.
And
to type in.
Facebook.
You can catch it on Facebook also. Yeah, we have one. I don't think I've ever been to the Truth Be Told Radio Facebook page.
I have.
Of course you have. I haven't. Leave it to the co-host. Leave it to the co-host to never go to the site, you know?
Come on.
I know. You can go there and I can. What's wrong with it? I don't know. But, anyway, I'm too good for that Facebook page. I'm just joking.
You kids with your Facebook thing.
You kids with Facebook. You're my sugar. You don't understand nothing. You know. I'm not Jewish by no means, but
a Jewish person probably would say boy.
Yeah. Well, I was young and needed the money. I wasn't Jewish at all, but I told my Jewish friends that was to be flattered. Oh, you kids today, you don't understand no theology, no music. You play that stuff that gets you all deaf in the ears and stuff. Anyway, Anyway, my comedy day is coming back to haunt me.
We gotta play this clip now.
Yeah, this is a witness encounter. It's actually an older encounter. Emile Zwayne, Ray's son-in-law, sets this witness encounter up. You can't see her face, but this girl named Katie, she actually gets pretty emotional, and you can tell the law and the gospel is working hard on her. But listen to as Ray witnesses to Katie, and we want to thank you for listening. Truth Be Told Radio, we'll see you next week. We're on Sunday nights from, if I can recall, it's 2 to 4 Pacific time, and 5 to 7 for all you Eastern people, Eastern Coast, East Coast people like me.
Yeah.
5 to 7
Sunday nights.
Yep. West Coast needs it. Now that's another lame sermon illustration, and it could probably be a rap song. So
yeah.
Anyway, this is Ray witnessing to Katie on Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to end with this. So see you all later. See you next week. Stay faithful. God bless.
There have been times when I've taken it for granted that every unbeliever has at least a basic understanding of biblical truth. But over the course of time, I've come to realize that that's just not the case. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that have a lot of misconceptions about a lot of things that the Bible has to say. As an ambassador of Christ, it's your duty to ask the probing questions that are going to bring these misconceptions to the surface. And once you've dealt with them and have shattered them, it's then your job to fill that void with biblical truth. Watch as Ray gives us a great example of how to do that.
Katie, what do you think happens after someone dies? Do they get reincarnated? Do you think there's a heaven? Do you think there's a hell?
I think it depends. I think sometimes there's reincarnation and sometimes some people go to heaven. It just depends.
What do you think?
I don't know. My mom thinks I'm reincarnated, so...
She thinks you're reincarnated?
Yes.
What does she think you were before you were what you are now?
A princess, because I tip my pinky up when I drink.
Oh,
that was weird.
You've got to be English.
Yeah, something. She doesn't know.
So that's the sign. The finger comes up, so you're a princess.
Something royalty, I guess. I don't know.
So that's your last life. What are you going to be in the next?
I don't know. Because to me, I believe it's just dark.
You think it's dark?
You're just dead.
Is that scary?
Yeah, that is.
Are you afraid of dying?
I am. I don't know. I believe in heaven, though, but then there's a couple different beliefs.
So, do you think you can do anything about death?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Have you looked into it?
No, I haven't.
Well, how can it be positive if you haven't looked into it?
Well, you're right. You know what? I believe in ghosts.
Well, let's look into it, okay?
I will.
We'll do it now. If there's a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there?
Yes.
You're a good person?
Yes. I've done my bad stuff, but I believe I haven't killed anybody.
How many lies have you told?
Probably over a million.
Okay, well, that's probably an exaggeration, but what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
You ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's called blasphemy. It's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust, sexual desire?
Yes.
Okay. Katie, by your own admission...
Am I going to heaven or not?
Well, what do you think? Listen to this. Here's a summation. By your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. That's four of the Ten Commandments. There's another six. Have you ever hated someone?
Yes.
Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer. So, if you die and God judges you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'll go to heaven or hell? Think before you answer, because this is so important. Lying, thieving, blasphemous, murderous, adulterer at heart.
Maybe I'm not going to heaven.
Well, the Bible says all liars are their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no murderer, no adulterer can inherit the kingdom of God. So, pretty serious. You'd end up in hell if you died in your sins. Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
Yes, he died for all of our sins.
Do you realize it was a legal transaction?
It was illegal or legal?
Legal. There was something legal going on. Do you know what it was?
What?
Let me explain it. In God's eyes, you and I are criminals. We've violated his law, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Jesus came to pay our fine, and on that cross he took the punishment for our sins and paid our fine in his life's blood. That means God can legally dismiss your case, because your fine was paid 2,000 years ago by Jesus, who suffered for you and rose again on the third day. What you've got to do is repent and trust in him. Just say, God, I'm so sorry for my sins, and then put your faith in Jesus. Turn from those sins. That's true repentance. So, Jesus died for you, rose again. You've got to repent and trust in him. If you died today, right now, and God gave you justice, where would you go?
To heaven.
Why?
Because he forgave me.
No, you've got to repent and trust.
I repent and trust.
When are you going to do that?
Soon, I hope. I'm in the transformation right now. Seriously, I am.
Well, don't do it soon.
It's a slow process.
Well, if you were going to jump out of a plane, you're right on the edge, and I said, when are you going to put your parachute on? You said, soon, it's a slow process.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said, come on! So, yeah. Katie, you could die tonight. You could die this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted hour. So, when are you going to get right with the Lord?
Today.
Today. Do you really mean that?
Yes.
Can we pray after this interview?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. Do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Okay. You've got to read it daily and obey what you read. So, thanks for talking to me, Katie. We'll just have a time of prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And don't forget to listen to us next time for more teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.